Hey, everybody, welcome to the Goots Cast. It is the final night of SummerSlam week, and we're past SummerSlam. Andrew, how do you feel doing a wrestling podcast for an entire week again?
You know, I feel like because we used to do this every day, mm-hmm. but because we haven't been doing it every day, it felt very exhausting. But at the same time, it felt like we didn't do enough because there was so much more wrestling that happened this week that we didn't even touch on.
I know.
It was two nights of Ring of Honor. it was just so much stuff happening that we didn't even talk about, touch on, even newsworthy stuff, you know?
Yeah, like, well, one day, but we covered enough. Mm-hmm. Tonight was NXT TakeOver. Today, I don't know if you saw an interview with Nick Khan, but mm-hmm. Nick Khan.
Tell me about it. I'm sorry.
Nick Khan did an interview with Ariel. He reminded, you know, I've met a lot of agents and managers.
He did an interview with who? Eric?
Ariel Hawali. He's like
Ariel Hawani, the UFC, mixed martial arts.
Yes, and he reveals that Nick Khan was his agent. So Nick Khan was an agent for sports broadcasters. He was like an agent. And I've met a ton of agents and managers, and I could tell who this guy was right away. And, you know, he was an agent. He comes across.
He was also the agent for that guy who was on Raw commentating for a little bit, remember?
Yes, he was. Yeah. So
he brought him in because,
he comes. I don't work with him, but I've known a lot of other guys. He comes across as less douchey than a lot of the other agents / managers who have done that full time at these agencies. They can be monsters. They don't even hide it. They can be like just horrible human beings. And he doesn't seem as horrible as most of them. One thing, the internet got mad. They asked about the cuts. And, you know, he goes, like, it's a group effort, you know. Well, he goes, ultimately, only one guy makes the call, Vince McMahon. But, you know, it'll be me, Bruce Pritchard, Triple H, Stephanie, and Vince. And we'll figure out who is going to move the needle for us now or 5 to 10 years from now. And then we act accordingly. And people got livid about that. But, like, what was he supposed to say? You know, those guys sucked, so we got rid of them. Like, that's the most diplomatic answer. Like,
yeah, I think so. I think that's a very diplomatic answer.
Like, people, we looked at who we think is going to move the needle for us.
How come people don't, like...
What do you mean to say? I thought these guys were fucking trash, or, oh, we should never fired anybody. They were so fucking awesome. What the fuck you want to say?
I listened to a comparison. They said, if you look at, like, football... He was like, do you know how many people get cut every year?
Yeah.
The amount of people get cut every year. And it's like, there's not this much outrage.
And Mickey James made a tweet like, oh, this is the guy. And she was like, she was like mad. First of all, I find hard to believe Mickey James never met this person. I find it hard to believe she didn't know about this guy or met this person. I knew about him a year ago. And number two, it's like, he said Vince makes the final call, Mickey. Everyone acts like Vince is so wonderful, but then they're like, Bruce Pritchard, I think Bruce Pritchard said this. He's like, dude, everyone would get mad at me and get mad at Jim Ross or Johnny Ace. It's Vince's call. He's the guy.
Yeah.
That if I work at WWE and I fucking hate Karrion Kross, right? But Vince decides that he wants to
give him the world.
I don't like him at all.
It's Puerto Rican.
Vince is not going to be like, oh my God, I really, you know what I want? I think I want Karrion Kross to beat Roman Reigns. I don't like him, Vince. Ray, you don't like him? Well, I guess I'm going to have to fire him. Like, that doesn't happen. Vince is just going to be like, shut the fuck up. He's going to be the champion. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing these guys don't seem to get. You want to be mad at all these other people. If Vince wants you to stay, you'll stay. If Vince wants Adam Cole to stay on Twitch, he's going to stay on Twitch.
This is why I always think the worst of Vince McMahon, of Junior. You know, I always think for him, worst case scenario person, because it's like he is the guy who, and you know what the thing is this, all these wrestlers who are such good people, the reason why they never shit on Junior
because they want to come back.
At the end of the day, they want a job back with
him. They figure in 5 years, Nick Khan will have moved on, and he probably will. I could see this guy. This guy is, you know, a lot of the agents and managers that are in comedy, they're not in it because they just fucking love comedy.
No.
They're in it because it's like, I can make serious money.
They're in it for the Skrilla.
Yeah, they're in it for the Skrilla. Louis C.K., Ron Funch, it's a good career path. The guy that was with – the guy that was Dane Cook's agent / manager when I was a sweetheart of a guy. But make no mistake, he was making bank. And, yeah. you know, there's a certain detachment to that. You can't take serious. You can't, you don't love comedy. No, they love money. And this guy has this. I can see this guy doing this for a while. And then when another opportunity comes up that might mean more money, him going to that. I don't think he approaches wrestling like, oh, Tony Khan yelled at me. Oh, my God, they get CM Punk. What am I going to do?
I can be Tony Khan in wrestling.
He's like, you go to him in a room like, look at the crowd reaction to CM Punk. And they had five. And Brian Myers had a five-star match with Christian Cage. You know what he's going to say? He's going to pull out a shirt. Look how much money we made on Saturday. Look how much money we made on Sunday. Look how much money we made on Friday. I call it a good week. Tell CM Punk to suck my dick. So what's the next move? That's the type of guy he is.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, the wrestlers don't shit on Junior because they eventually want a job back. So they'll use any scapegoat they can get. And Nick Khan.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone wants to blame this guy. Then he, but in the interview, he does admit, and people got mad about this too, they're going to do a full revamp of NXT. A full revamp.
I'm sure his hands aren't like clean. I'm sure he's the guy who was like, we gotta cut this many people. But at the end of the day, he's not the one who's deciding who's getting cut.
Let me tell you, he was hired to do a job. He was hired to do a job. He can be, if he walks into that room and goes like, we can't fire Bray Wyatt. The internet's going to be mad at me. You know what Vince is going to say? Get the fuck out. And they're going to tell, he's not going to be able to work in the industry again. Because it's like, the way it looks like it's going,
he's brought in, make us profitable. And then he looks at it and goes, well, we're in a pandemic. You're not doing any live events. You're not making any money that way. What's another way to be profitable? Cut money.
Yeah.
And that's where he's suggesting. He's like, we need to save. Let's just say the talent roster, they spend, let's just say, $10 million. And he's like, dude, from this $10 million, we need to cut like $3 million out of talent roster. And then they were just trying to figure out who to cut from there.
He's brought in to do a job. He's not brought in because he loves fucking Illinois Dragunov, although he should. But you know,
he 100% should. Okay, it's Junior guy. It's Junior. Don't even call him Vince McMahon. He doesn't deserve that honor.
This guy's just there to do a job. He would be doing, if he was hired for the MLB, the NBA, the NHL, he'd be doing the same fucking job. You need to make these cuts here, that cut here. We need to emphasize this, revamp that, and by my projections, we'll make X amount of money. Fantastic. Yeah. That's why we hired you. We didn't hire you to cry about Tyler Breeze or Mickey James.
Yeah. That's somebody else's job.
Yeah. That's the internet guy's.
Ooh. That's the internet guy's job. Ross Sapps or something.
That's his job. Oh, why is
everybody – can I ask you a question? Why does everyone like the Sean Ross Sapp guy?
He kind of came out of nowhere. I find him to be intense.
Like, who is he? Yeah, I have not. Like, I hadn't. I don't think I started hearing about him.
I don't know a single person that I've met in real life that likes him. He comes. You know what he comes across as? He comes across as very disingenuous.
Like how?
Like when the Brody Lee thing went down, he like did this holier than thou. If you even question AEW for a second, you're a horrible person and you need to like reevaluate your life and you're disgusting. It's always like, and then like if you're happy that anyone in NXT is not there anymore, you're a monster and you're this and you're that. And if you don't have any feet, he always acts like he's so much more sensitive and more in tune with things. I never trust people like that. Every comedian that acted like that wound up like that he raped the girl or he touched the girl his pussy or shit like that.
But then why though, right? I'm hearing like everybody like is praising him for.
Well, he broke the CM Punk thing, which I think he got leaked. I think you can't convince me that was not leaked to him. He broke the CM Punk news. He was also at SummerSlam. They gave him a press box. For whatever reason, people like him. WWE also lets him do interviews. I think he's a cloying, annoying fucking fanboy. I could tell if I had to sit in a room with him, I'd want to fucking punch him. I don't like this guy.
Where's he from, though? Like, how did he get in wrestling?
I don't know how he got this. I don't know how he got this. He kind of came out of nowhere. I wasn't paying attention to Twitter or anything. And then all of a sudden, he became like a thing. I don't know how.
How does he make money?
His Patreon.
Oh, that's the only way he makes money. So he breaks wrestling news.
On Patreon, but WWE had him in a press box last night.
Okay. All right, good for him.
I don't know. I don't know. I think he's more annoying than Meltzer. I don't like a lot of these wrestling reporters. What?
Wrestling media.
I don't like them at all. I don't consider them real people, real reporters. I don't like when they have this chip on their shoulder. They want to be, but you're not a real reporter. If you're a real reporter, go fucking work on something that's important. I don't need you to determine whether or not Sasha Banks had COVID or not. Like, go work on something real. If I become like a wrestling reporter or something, mm-hmm. I'm gonna like just laugh about it all day long. I'm not gonna be like, no, you gotta treat me seriously. Oh, I broke the news. I broke the news that CM Punk is gonna go to AEW.
Speaking of wrestling media, I saw that this guy that you always mention him, JD from New York. This guy's racist.
Oh yeah, I saw that. He said there's no black athlete better than Kenny Omega, which I was like, what are you?
Fuck, is this guy racist?
That's pretty racist to me, I think.
Yeah, I heard that's not his first racist comment.
He's not. He was playing Super Mario Kart, and he was screaming about all the chinks and gooks on the playing with him.
So how is this? Oh, I guess actually, I was gonna say, how does this explain how this guy is so popular? But at the same time,
well, he acts like he's I don't think he knows this term, but he acts like he's the compound media legion of skanks of like wrestling people.
And I guess people like him. He's the guy who also said sexual stuff, right? Like he's like
about Alexa Bliss. He probably just lays there, dude. Like I saw every now and then I'll put on a video of his. First of all, it almost feels like Saturday Night Live. Like let's make a character, let's make an internet wrestling character. We're gonna do sketches like a Wayne's World sketch. That's what JD from New York feels like. It feels like Michael Che and Colin Jost wrote this guy up, and he's like an improv actor, dude. This is what to me, like when the wrestlers in the locker room and they're probably like making fun of the fans, this is who they have in their head. This is like the voice they're doing to each other. Like, you know, I guarantee you the wrestlers in the locker room just like rip on us every now and then. Oh, you know what? They probably, look at this fucking idiot.
Yeah.
But they're picturing him when they're making fun of us.
Well, he is popular. I can't believe this guy's actually noteworthy. But all right, let's get ready to take over. We start with the pre-show match. Trey Baxter gets squashed by Ridge Holland, who hits an emerald, his version of the emerald flosion for the victory. Afterwards, he calls out Timothy Thatcher. Something to note, the referee for this match, and he will be refereeing later on tonight, was Jessica Carr, who was refereeing at SummerSlam. So kudos to Jessica for going from refereeing one night, probably fucking taking the red eye and then just wrestling. I mean, refereeing from Las Vegas one night to fucking Florida the next night. So good for her. What did you think of this match?
Great squash. This kid was on Impact, right? Beginning of the year?
Yes. Yeah, he wasn't signed. He only had like a few matches.
He was in that tournament with Ace Austin.
Yes. Blake Christian. Yes.
Yeah, I remember I remember that, dude. That's, we sat home and covered that thing. Nothing happened for 3 hours. Remember that. And you were like, why are we even doing this? We were like, why are we doing a podcast? I guarantee you, like, two people listened to that episode. Yeah, this is a great squash. This is all you really need. Get over Ridge Holland more. Great job.
Poaching a lot of talent from NXT UK. This guy, but that's what NXT UK is supposed to be. It's supposed to be like a feeder for NXT. So, yeah. It is what it is. We're going to go straight into the TakeOver 36. Ted DiBiase comes out, has a garbage can. Cameron Grimes comes out, puts all his butler gear in there. And LA Knight comes out. This is a match where for the $1 million dream title, if Grimes loses, $1 million man has to become LA Knight's butler. But that will not happen because when the referee is distracted, $1 million man puts the $1 million dream on LA Knight, throws him back into the ring for LA Knight to run right into a cave-in by Cameron Grimes for Grimes to win. He is now your new $1 million champion. What did you think of this match?
I liked it. It wasn't the greatest. It got the job done. Much like last night's opening match, it told a logical story, got the job done. I do think it's time to get LA Knight on the main roster.
I also think it's time to get Ted DiBiase off their TV. Yes.
I think they will on Tuesday. I think they're going to do one final thing. I think Ted DiBiase is going to basically pass the torch to Cameron Grimes. I would actually move both guys over. I would have Ted DiBiase be like, I spoke to Vince, and you're starting on SmackDown Friday, and make me proud. Like, that's my final gift to you. That's what I would do. I would move both guys to the main roster. They both are – I think LA Knight is badly needed on both shows. Take your pick.
Yeah.
So you want to put him on.
He's
ready. He was ready years ago.
Yeah, he brings a ton of character, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that the real million-dollar title? I think so. Oh, it looked a little weird.
Well, I mean, I know when they go on TV that they wear replicas. They don't wear the real belts anymore. They have a bunch of different.
Oh, okay.
All the belts, they have like multiple copies.
Because do you remember Ringside Collectibles, the very first one, Ringside Fest they did at Caroline's?
Yeah.
I went to that one. And
Warrior and all those guys?
The first one where $1 million Ted DiBiase was on the first one.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The questions they asked him, was that a real, like, were diamonds of the title real? And he said, no, but in the back, they had two diamonds on it. In the back, there's two real diamonds. So if anybody asks me if they're real diamonds, I can say yes, and I'm not lying. Mm. So when there was a moment in this match where you saw the back of the title and I didn't see the two diamonds, so I was like, is that the real title? I'm not sure. So.
I think they make multiple copies of every belt now.
You say. I think that's probably the smart thing to do. You're right. Because, if you have these people throwing around the belts and shit, they're going to get all fucked up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Match number two, Dakota Kai versus Raquel Gonzalez, Chica, for the NXT Women's title. There was a lot of sloppiness in this match. Like, fucking moves being missed, like, kicks being missed, and them acting like it hit. But at the same time, even though it's sloppy, it wasn't bad either. There was some good moments, good hit, fast pace, good hitting. Raquel Gonzalez is sitting on top of the turnbuckle. Dakota Kai tries to go for a running kick. Gonzalez catches her and lifts her up from the second turnbuckle, hit the Chicano bomb, which is a single arm power bomb for the victory. Raquel Gonzalez retains the NXT Women's title. And afterwards, as she's celebrating, Kylie Rae, former NXT UK Women's Champion, arrives and has a stare down with Raquel Gonzalez. So another NXT UK Women's Champion poached from NXT UK, now in NXT. What'd you think of this match?
It wasn't as good as it could have been. You know, like, this has been building up for a year.
Yeah.
I really thought they kind of, like, really minimized the women on this episode of TakeOver. Usually, like,
yeah,
they really
right.
spotlight yeah, yeah. them. And this one was like, dude, this has been, they kind of really have downplayed this story. I really thought, like, going back a year ago, that when these two turned on each other, it was going to be, like, a major, major angle. And a major part of, and it hasn't been. And I also thought Dakota Kai was going to win when they turned just to help her. They didn't do that either. They made Dakota Kai look stupid. I think Raquel Colon's not very good. I think it's weird to me.
Why do you keep calling her that?
Oh, what's her fucking name?
Is that her real name, Raquel Colon?
No, that was some indie wrestler back in the day.
Oh, okay. I was like, because you called her that Raquel before, and I didn't correct you because I was like, maybe that's her real name or something.
No, Raquel Gonzalez, whatever the fucking name is. Raquel Gonzalez, I don't think she's that good.
Of all the women,
I remember on NXT, they had all the women come out with their belts. She's the only one left with the fucking belt. The other two, like, jerk-offs now. Remember Bianca and Rhea Ripley came back, and they were like, look, we did it! And then they got buried.
Yeah. That's true.
We did it. We're about to get fucking buried. Rhea Ripley was like a fucking idiot now. She's the only one that has the belt, and I think she should have been squashed by Becky, not these two. I don't think she's very good. I think Dakota Kai, like, it didn't. It should have been better.
Raquel also, seasoning.
100%. Also, the match placement was stupid. I would have had this between Walter and Adam Cole.
No, I thought this was fine where it needed to be, and I'll tell you why. If you put this on after, it would have looked even worse. It would have looked even worse, dude.
No, but
this match should have been even first. Should have been first.
But you know why? You know why? I think I'm saying that's because we knew the match was going to stink. People weren't really into this match. Hold on.
Oh, like you needed a buffer match?
You need a buffer because I wasn't too into the Adam Cole match because I was still so spent. You can't have three amazing matches back to back to back. They should have booked a sixth match and had it between. I don't think it was fair to Adam Cole.
Or they should have booked fucking Flo Rida to fucking sing a song in between.
They should have Flo Rida with the Hit Squad sing.
I mean, this match, I thought Dakota Kai, there are parts where she was trying to make this match good, but Raquel, just something about her, I don't think she's like that good yet. She's just like not seasoned enough. But I think the interesting thing is Kylie Rae is there. So NXT UK has had 4 women's champions, and all the first 3 have all come over. So right now, and Kylie Rae was the last one, and she's over now. Right now, their current champion is Mako Satomura. So I wonder when she loses, she's going to come over too. I have no idea. But there's this track record of fucking like Rhea Ripley, Toni Storm, fucking Kylie Rae. And every time you win that belt, you fucking come over. So
I would have Kylie Rae beat Raquel Colón.
Yeah.
Raquel Gonzalez.
Definitely better than Colón. You know, she has to earn our respect to be called Gonzalez. She has to get better, and we'll call you that. Let us make us know, like, learn your name. Make us learn your name. That's what I always say. Match number 3, Walter versus Dragunov for the NXT UK title. Lots of fucking NXT UK on the show, man, for real. Quick sidebar. Walter and Dragunov had a match last year, October 22, which in front of no fans. Remember, it was an empty arena match. It was such a great match. I considered that the best match of 2020. So this is Walter and Dragunov 2 for the NXT UK title. And this match is in front of an audience. And I think this match was maybe even better than that first match. It is just ugly, hard hitting, like just like it looks like a fucking fight, like a realistic fight where it's like guys are tired. Guys are just like, you know, real fights are ugly. Things happen, like, and it's just like, that's what it was. There's a cool moment where Dragunov hits Walter with 2 torpedo mascals. Walter still doesn't go down. There's a moment where Walter hits a fucking knee to the face, then hits a fucking powerbomb, and then a top rope splash, which is the way he won the title to begin with. Dragunov kicks out of that, and right from that moment is where Walter starts losing his confidence. Because in the whole match, it's like this guy... Walter's like, I'm going to fucking kill this guy. And then when he did that combo and then he kicked out, you could see like Walter being like, what the fuck? This guy was supposed to lose there. And then that's when the tide started turning and Dragunov started like almost acting like Walter, where he's giving him the disrespectful kicks in the back of the head, disrespectful smacks in the head, puts him in a sleeper, let's go, kicks him a whole bunch of time, puts him back in a sleeper, pulls him up. Walter has no choice but to fucking tap out. His 870-day reign is over. Dragunov is now the new NXT UK champion. He fucking celebrates, raises the title over his head with his fucking foot on a fallen Walter. Fucking fantastic, bro.
An amazing match. The best match.
This is your first time watching these two, right? What? This is your first time watching.
I gotta go back and watch it. I had that match on the on. They had a best of 2020, and that was on it, and.
Yeah.
On the network, and I watched that, but I was doing stuff around the house.
Yeah, but this is the first time seeing it, so, like I want to see, like, what did you think, man?
I liked it. It was great. It was fucking, it was the best match of the week. It was fucking amazing.
It is.
You didn't like when Dragunov was doing the characters, like, I'm so mad. And the next
Tuesday, yeah, I didn't like that. Yeah.
I like that shit. I've been a fan of Dragunov this entire time. I just wouldn't have had Walter lose, unless... they got something planned for him.
Yes, I also didn't want Walter to lose, but it was such a good match. I was like, man, if he's
gonna... What I could see is they have finally convinced him to come to America full time. And they're like, all right, since you're going to come to America full time, we're going to have you lose this kid. And then this kid will go to NXT UK and, you know, you'll do your thing over there. Because if he's not going to America full time, I don't know. I would not have had him lose.
I also think this could lead to a Walter Dragon off third. Three. Mm-hmm. Cause they might do that. One a piece. And then we're going to go third one.
You know what I would do? And I don't know if this would work or not, but I would do it. See if I would put it. I would put three. Let me see what you think. I would put three on Raw.
I would do that. That's not a bad idea. 100%. Yeah.
I would put three on Raw and be like, this is what you're going to get with our revamped NXT. And give them like 50 minutes of the first hour or the second hour. Just give them the second hour. I guarantee you by the end, the crowd is going to be like, and hype it up for weeks. Be like, in 3 weeks, we're going to have this match on Raw. And then be like, you like it? Go watch NXT. That's what I would do. I'd put it on Raw because you have so much time to kill on Raw. Why not give them what's going to happen if you get in the second hour?
I don't know if they'll. I think that's a great idea.
They're not going to do it.
I don't think they'll do it. Yeah, that's a good. That's how I know they're not going to do it because it's a good idea.
You know, it's almost like first it was NXT or put it on pay-per-view. Put it on fucking Extreme Rules. First it was in an empty building. Then it was on a takeover. Now it's at a major pay-per-view or Raw. Yeah. Like now we've had to raise the stakes so much that they're on the biggest stage NXT UK has ever had. Like that's what I would do.
Yeah,
like, this match is too good. We have to have it at Survivor Series.
Yeah. Even though the first one was really good, I just kind of like this one a little better. The crowd helped. Because remember, the first one's empty arena. There's no crowd. This one, there's a crowd. It helps. But also, there was more stakes in this one. Like the first one, when I watched it, I knew Walter was going to win. But the match was so
good. He had been away because it was like his big comeback. Fighting because of COVID.
Yeah. So when you go into knowing Walter's going to win, but the match was so brutal that you start having doubts like, oh man, I don't know if maybe Dragunov has a chance of winning. This one, there was more of I'm not 100% sure Walter's going to win. There was just more on the line. The title reign was longer. There's crowds there. It was just. It's still brutal. Still very, very brutal to watch. I mean, it's just hard-hitting. It is ugly. It's everything you want in, like, if you like wrestling to look as realistic as possible and not choreographed, this is the match to watch. 100% best match of the weekend, possibly the best match of the year. There's still 4 months left of the year, so we'll see what happens. But definitely this one was worth the third match of the night. This one is worth TakeOver. This one is worth watching TakeOver for. And we're going to...
They could have just ended the show.
They could have. Yeah, they could have.
If this had been on SummerSlam... Sorry, I was...
It's okay. You say if this was on SummerSlam?
This was on SummerSlam, this would have made the event good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, go ahead.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. I just would have had him lose. I'm starting to think that they have a plan for him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to think without Adam Cole, they're like, we want to make you the fucking focus of this show. So
that's possible. Yeah. Cause if Adam Cole is leaving,
it's been confirmed.
He what?
Been confirmed.
When?
Tonight, as soon as the event over, Mike Johnson of PW Insider said he has not signed a new contract and he is no longer wrestling NXT. He could potentially show up anywhere right this second.
He could show up Wednesday.
Yeah.
Or he could show up on Impact on Thursday.
Or he could show up on NWA, baby.
On Tuesday.
Or he could show up on Raw tomorrow night.
Yeah. Or he could show up on Raw tomorrow night.
He's definitely never going to be, but no matter what, he's not going to be in NXT again.
Yeah. All right. So, what do you call it? Okay. They go backstage. Mackenzie interviews Cameron Grimes, who's with DiBiase. DiBiase is still boring as fuck on the TV. Cameron Grimes, he said he's going to celebrate. He's going to have a $1 million celebration on a Tuesday. And then we get Joe and William Regal in the back. William Regal's like, dude, I'm like the general manager. I can't be biased, but I hope he kicks his ass. And then we're going to go straight to our fourth match. Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Cole. You look fine, bro. brother. Hey, don't worry, bro. You look fine, brother. Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly. First match is a regular match because Kyle is stupid, but he's not that stupid because he wins because Adam Cole tries to go for the Panama Sunrise, flips over him, but Kyle O'Reilly just sits down for the 1-2-3. Kyle gets the first victory. Second match is a street fight. There is a point in this match where Adam Cole puts Kyle O'Reilly in the lockjaw. I thought that was kind of nice little wink-wink. And then the finish comes. Remember, street fights, like, they have a whole bunch of garbage in the ring. The finish comes when there's a bunch of chairs set up in the middle, and Adam Cole grabs Kyle O'Reilly, who's at the top rope, and throws him onto the chairs, and then hits the last shot, running knee to the back of the head for Adam Cole to get a second fall. Third fall is a cage match. The finish comes when Adam Cole handcuffs Kyle O'Reilly to the ropes, but then even though he's handcuffed, Kyle O'Reilly puts a one-arm heel hook on Adam Cole for Adam Cole to tap out. I could have sworn I heard some BS chants at the end of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, the cage match went so fast.
Yeah, it did. Did you hear people say bullshit at the end? Tending bullshit?
Yeah, a little bit. I could tell people weren't that happy with the match. Yeah.
Yeah, because the finish just went like, oh, I'm in a heel hook. That's it. Adam Cole loses 2-1, and you're saying he's done. I believe that. What did
the Young Bucks put up a thing about him? And then they changed it to "We're living rent free in all your heads." And then Britt Baker wrote "Bebe" as soon as the match ended. And Mike Johnson reports he has not signed with WWE, but he's definitely, if he does sign with WWE, he's not going to be NXT ever again. So
who is Mike Johnson?
PW Insider.
Oh, okay.
Who I've met, and that guy does have contacts. Here's my thing.
Yes,
I didn't like this match. I didn't like any of their matches.
I will say this: the point you make that this is one's right after Walter Dragunov. We're in this like we're already like affected by that match. Nothing else is going to compare, pretty much.
Yeah, I know. But I don't. Here's the other thing: they never should have broke up the Undisputed Era. They never should have.
I didn't hear you.
Yep. They never should have broke up the Undisputed Era because none of the other three guys were over enough to feud with Adam Cole. Adam Cole without the music, that music is horrible. He just loses. I'm going to be honest with you. If I'm Vince, I don't really care if he goes to AEW or not. This wasn't
fair.
The past few months, he hasn't. Personally, I don't think he's shown me enough that I would want to keep him. And also, if I'm Adam Cole, after seeing what happened Friday, I would want to go to AEW. Also, considering that my wife's there and CM Punk might try to fuck her. I would want to go to AEW.
Friend fucker?
Also my wife's there.
Oh, because he might try to fuck her. Yeah.
When CM Punk mentioned Britt, the first thing he does is mention Britt Baker. I'm like, he's planting seeds. He's planting seeds.
Oh, dude. Yeah. You know, he's probably watching on Friday. Goes, what? I got to go. I got to watch.
I guarantee you too, Britt Baker probably got moist in the fucking, I guarantee you she was like, the first thing he says after 7 years is me. Oh my God. I remember like 10 years ago, I was watching him in college. And be like, oh. So I guarantee you, like a lot of these female wrestlers when they were younger were probably like watching him and like, oh, I would fuck the shit out of him if I ever met him. And now he's like, you guys sure know I'm making feel like Britt Baker. Mm-hmm. He's playing
season. Yeah.
So
yeah,
Adam
yeah.
Cole's like, I gotta get over there. I gotta get over there. I can't stick around here.
Yeah, you know, that's a very logical reason of why he's like, she's like, he goes to Vince, I'm sorry, I gotta go. You know,
you see this first fucking line. I appreciate
this $1 million, but I'm gonna lose my wife.
7 years, he says nothing, and then the first line is about Britt Baker.
Yeah, that's so funny. Oh, dude,
he did that on purpose, guys, man. That guy's a player.
Track record, all right, he has a track record. He's a track record. So
players do that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, they throw little things out like that. He's planting seeds. I'm not saying him and AJ Lee are not happy, but I'm saying I think he plants seeds everywhere he goes.
See him. Yeah, he's planting a lot of seeds. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, these matches weren't that good. And I don't know, who do you blame? Do you blame Adam Cole or Kyle O'Reilly? They weren't good. They just were not good matches. He had all the things. Here's the deal. It's like a cover band playing a great song. Like, it has the makings of something good because it's a great song, but the band's not talented enough to make it work. That's kind of what all these matches are like. If you read like step by step, it sounds like a great matches, but they're really not great matches.
This should have just been one match.
Yeah, no, I'm saying every match they had.
Yeah, every match they had felt rushed, and it felt like they were just like, we got to do these spots, and then that's it, right?
And then the other thing, like, I kind of think hurt it was that Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong really had no reaction to any of this.
Well, yeah, Bobby Fish don't even work there no more.
But, like, when Bobby Fish came back, he didn't even comment on it or get involved. Like,
yeah.
Like it was just, it was a weird, they did it so weird, man. I don't know.
The way they even broke up Undisputed Era was very weird. Like, just like, they were just like, I don't want to be friends with you guys anymore or something like that, wasn't it? It was just.
Yeah, it was just, I didn't like any of it. And,
yeah, they really should have never broke this group up. They really shouldn't have.
They should have done more to get, if they were going to break them up, they should have done more to make the other, because the other three guys just seemed like Adam Cole's like foot soldiers. They didn't have any personality.
I wonder if, that's a good point. I wonder if their goal was to bring this up to the main roster. And when Triple H presented it, Junior was like, no, get the fuck out of here.
They should have been on the main roster, like being the shit out of somebody. That's what they should
have. I know, but maybe Junior said no. And that's why they were like, oh, I guess it's time to break him up then.
And then the other thing too, I'm watching the video package of Adam Cole, and Adam Cole's promo is just, I don't like you, I'm the best, I don't like you, I'm the best. Like, it's like, he's just yelling, he's like yelling at his waiter. I don't know nothing about him.
That's actually what he yelled when he's
That's what he yelled. I'm watching this objectively, and I'm like, I don't think I try to keep this guy. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, if he wants to go to AEW, his girlfriend's there, they're clearly going to be more excited to have him than Vince is. I'd be like, yeah, go there, let's see what happens.
You know what match I'm looking forward to the most when he goes over to AEW? Him versus Hangman Page.
That would be good. You know what I make his first match, though? This is what I would do. John Moxley has nothing going on for All Out. I'd have him attack John Moxley. I'd have debuted on Wednesday by beating the shit out of John Moxley. You set up that
match. That would be pretty cool, yeah.
Because I think that would be a great match. I would if he is going to AEW, I would debut him right away. I wouldn't hold off. I would keep the momentum going.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If he runs out and has a major angle, I'd start the show at Punk, and I'd end the show at Adam Cole on Wednesday.
Absolutely. Oh, my God.
Because I'll be honest with you. I think ultimately, in 3 years, Adam Cole's not going to mean shit. But he's going to mean a lot on Wednesday night.
Wait,
so,
would you do Adam Cole on Wednesday, or would you do it on Friday?
No, Wednesday. I keep it going.
One of the things they're trying to do, I think, on Fridays for the Rampage is they're like, we got to make this a must-see show.
I would have him attack John Moxley on Wednesday and promote Friday as his first. At 10 o'clock, he's going to cut his first promo.
Oh, so like on Wednesday, he only just comes out and attacks someone. That's how the show ends, like real quick, you know? Mm-hmm. And then like, oh, yeah, that's possible. Yeah, yeah. Well, either way.
He's got to show up this week.
AEW is making themselves in a position where you have to fucking watch the show.
Yeah. Because I think ultimately he's not going to really, I don't think he's as good as everybody thinks he is. So he's ultimately, I don't think he's going to matter. But he matters right now. So yeah. You need to keep the momentum going. Because if he shows up this week, people are going to be like, I got to watch everything.
Yeah.
This shit's crazy. And I think that's where he's most going to make an impact.
Dude, I'm already hyped about Wednesday. I'm like, dude, I can't wait for Wednesday.
Yeah.
I need to watch.
But yeah, I would just let him go to AEW. Because ultimately, I'd be honest with you. I would be honest. If I was consulting, if I'm Nick Khan, I'd be like, ultimately, he's not going to matter. And if he is, then you know what? I'll take the L on that. I don't think he's ultimately going to matter. I think everybody else will.
I can't watch Friday. Fuck.
Why?
I'm going to be...
You're at that convention of people that hate women. I forgot.
Yeah. I'm in Cleveland. My friend doesn't have TV. He doesn't have cable. So I'm like, fuck.
But you could just watch the YouTube highlights.
I guess so. I don't want to fucking do that, but I guess I'm going to have to. Fuck.
Well, no. Well, I have my show this Friday. I can't miss every Friday for this fucking show.
Yeah. I'm so hyped.
By the way, this week, do you want to do Tuesday, possibly Wednesday?
Yeah. Yeah, because like Thursday.
Wednesday, I might be getting a tattoo with Natalie, but.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to get a Sonic the Hedgehog
tattoo. She's got space on her skin for a tattoo.
No, I'm getting a tattoo.
Oh, but is she getting one?
He always gets one here.
Dude, she told me she didn't pay a single, she hasn't paid for a single one of her tattoos. And I'm like, I'm like, dude, then it totally makes sense why you would get so many
tattoos. I want to get, I want to get one because now that my arms are getting bigger, I think I want to do like more tattoos on my arm.
How lucky is she to have never paid for a single tattoo? She's
very lucky. But like, I want to get a, my first tattoo is going to be a Sonic, 16-bit Sonic. Anyway.
16-bit Sonic?
Like how Sonic looked in the Genesis games. Sonic All right, so let's go on to the main event. I have some stuff.
So Dragunov is bruised. They show Dragunov in the back. He's all bruised up with the belt and the axe. And Dragunov and Dragunov, the ring general is dead. Long live the Tsar. So he's going by the Tsar now. He's calling himself that.
They're going to bring him on Raw. I'm the Tsar.
Yeah, he's doing a Russian
he's
thing.
He's going to wear the hat to the dance. Yeah.
Legado del Fantasma calls out Hit Row, and they said they got something planned for them.
It's I thought you said Hitler.
Yeah, on Hitler as well. They got something planned for Hitler and Hit Row. Next week, on this coming week on Tuesday on NXT, it is. So they keep saying NXT is changing, but this week on NXT, they've already advertised a six-man tag, Legado del Fantasma versus Hit Row, and the finals for the breakout tournament, Odyssey Jones versus Carmella Hayes. So
it's, I think there's going to be an angle to start the change.
Oh, okay, because it seems
like I don't think you could just, like, fucking start the show.
I would start out the show with Nick Khan and being like, guys, it's time to save money.
I would have Nick Khan start the show like CM Punk did sign with a Khan, but it's not a Tony.
By the way, I read that the fucking pro wrestling tees, they ran out of the fucking ringer shirts.
I know, now it's a regular shirt. Dude, you can buy them. You can buy somebody selling the shirt on eBay for cheap. I think they're just making it themselves. I'm just going to buy it on eBay.
Dude, that shit, he's fucking a money-making machine, this guy.
Dude, yeah, it's no more ringers. Well, I don't want a regular shirt. I want the ringer shirt.
Yeah, this guy, he sold so many fucking shirts that they ran out of the type of shirt. That's insane. I've never heard that before, right?
Well, now they need more shirts. Well, yeah. Dude, it's like, I know you, when you said, dude, they really have stumbled onto something good here, and they've got to keep it going.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. NXT Championship. This is the fifth and final match. Samoa Joe comes out. Karrion Kross comes out. Sans Scarlett. What's happened to Scarlett? Is she gone?
No, I'm telling you, Vince is in love with her, and he's got plans for her. I'm telling you anything.
Yeah.
Vince has major plans for her.
Yeah, there has been no reports of her being injured or with COVID.
No, I'm telling you, he's got a plan. I am telling everything. Dude, this guy is going to be so Mark Merrill. 5 years from now, Scarlett is going to be like one of the major. She's going to be in all the posters, all the advertising, like Charlotte and Becky and Sasha. This guy's going to be on Impact yelling at Sami Callihan about who's the draw. Like, I'm telling you, this guy is going to be. The biggest mistake he ever made was bringing her in with him.
You were saying this way back when.
She's not with him is that Vince has, dude, she is money. Like, I don't care. She's money. She's more money than most of the women they have. Just her standing there is money.
Yeah, like he probably took a look at this and was like, you're not doing this shitty acting.
No. Like, and like she was so hot and so, I'm not saying amazing, but she was entertaining as the smoke show.
The smoke show, yeah. Dude,
when I saw her in person, I've never seen a more gorgeous woman in person. Like, when I saw her at the Dan Barry show.
Dude,
that's your friend Majeet said the same thing.
I swear I'm not making this up. You know Majeet? Mm-hmm. Majeet and I went to WrestleCon and we saw her. And Majeet doesn't watch Impact Wrestling, so he doesn't know who she is, right? He goes to me and he goes, that is the most gorgeous woman I've ever seen in real life.
Yeah,
same thing that you just said.
She's like, she looks like a movie star. There's no fucking. Then, like, you see some of the other ones in real life. They, mm-hmm. It kind of the illusion. Bailey and you see Bailey and Nikki. Well, you still saw Nikki Cross in real life. She looks like a movie star. But you see, even Becky Lynch looked like a regular like person when we met her. She looked like someone I would go to a bar with. But fuck, remember we met Becky Lynch. She was very nice to us.
Yeah.
But she wasn't like, oh my God. But Scarlett looks like she stepped out of a fucking movie. So I guarantee you, I've been watching this shit for a lot of years. Vince ain't gonna let her walk around with that fucking doofus. It's not gonna happen.
Or doing that fall and pray.
No, that shit's stupid. That shit was a waste.
I think he saw that and was like, you're not doing this shit no more.
You're not doing that shit. And he's probably keeping her off because he wants the audience to not associate her with him.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish they would do the whole smoke show thing. That was, dude, people might say like, oh, it's not us being sexist. That's what got her on the map in the first place.
Let me tell you something. I guarantee you, I almost feel like Vince and Nick Khan and Triple and Bruce Pritchard have locked her in a room and been like, you cannot date this man anymore. You cannot. Like, you do not understand what we have planned for you. You need to immediately leave him and file a restraining order. Because, dude, he's such a doofus, man. He looks so stupid. He looks, man, I told you this was going to happen from day one. I knew, dude, I've never been so right about something. From day one, I'm like, they're going to eventually fucking, like, get sick of this guy, and they're going to, like, shoot her to the fucking moon. Dude, yeah. I guarantee you, like, in 2 years, like, he's going to be main eventing WrestleMania. I guarantee you.
Probably, yeah. All right, so Samoa Joe, by the way. Last time he wrestled was February 10th, 2020. So this is his return match. It's been a year and a half since this guy wrestled. I want to say it was probably like a 15-minute match or less.
It was pretty short for an NXT
main event. Yeah, it was like 15 minutes or less. This show, by the way, started at 8 o'clock, not the pre-show. Just main show started at 8 o'clock, ended by
10:30,
so 2.5 hours. There's a moment where he's got the cross jacket and Samoa Joe, and Joe's like drooling blood. It was nasty. The camera zoomed right in. I was like, dude, you don't have to fucking zoom right in. But he's drooling blood, which is a cool visually, I guess. Samoa Joe hits the muscle buster for the victory. He is now, I think, the only only three-time NXT champion. Joe wins. I'm assuming Joe's staying on NXT, and Karrion Kross is going back to main event on WWE. He's been on main event.
Dude, even his entrance was different today. It wasn't like the whole big. It was like, this match was nice for what it was. It was Samoa Joe coming back, Samoa Joe putting this guy in his fucking place, and having a new start with Samoa Joe on top. It was fine for what it was. It wasn't the greatest. It wasn't the best. It was an all-time classic. It got the job done, which is all it needed to do.
Yes.
Look, I have no problem with an average match if it tells the right story. If you're telling a logical story, I have no problem. And so I have no problem with this. It's when you do shit like the Nikki Ash thing where she looks like an idiot, where Charlotte makes her look like an idiot at the end, where I'm like, I fucking hate this match. Like, So yeah, this whole event, it wasn't the best takeover, but also I think that Walter match was so fucking good. Mm-hmm. Nothing is going to compare to it. It just couldn't be. Nothing even came close.
No, that's a good point. Yeah.
But not even anything on AEW. Nothing this week came close. Best match of the week.
This is a great
week. I'm going to wind up being the match of the year.
This is a great weekend of wrestling. I was actually watching the CM Punk debut again. And I was like, I went back and I watched Brock Lesnar's return in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always think that was like, one of the loudest reactions.
That was a great pop because nobody thought it was going to happen. And it was kind of at the same time.
And there was such a long absence from him in WWE and wrestling, right? So when he came back, there was such a hunger, right? And I always think I always considered that to be one of the biggest reactions I've ever heard. The CM Punk reaction was way louder, way longer. I think that CM Punk reaction was probably the loudest reaction ever.
The loudest reaction I think I've ever heard. The only reaction that comes close and is Warrior and SummerSlam 88, because that you have to rewatch that like and try to get like an unedited version of it, because they pop for him coming out, they pop for the match starting, and then when he wins, every pop somehow gets louder and louder. And when he wins, somehow the crowd just, but then he runs back out. So it's over right away. So it's like only like 2 minutes, where CM Punk was like a good 20 minutes of, you know what I mean?
The people,
but like that's only that comes close. But that also was so like he ran in and ran out.
Yeah.
But the pop on SummerSlam 88 was fucking insane. Also, Triple H just returned to the Garden.
Someone was saying that too. Yeah, that was like a.
I was always shocked about the. I think everyone to this day is shocked at the. Back then, I was shocked at the pop this fucking guy got that night.
Yeah.
And he got a really good pop. But this, I would say, also Austin coming out to help Mankind win the world title. Mm-hmm. That was a good pop. But I would say this is the biggest pop of all time. And CM Punk coming out in Money in Bank 2011 was a huge pop.
Yeah. This one was, there's points where it doesn't even sound like audience cheering. It's just, I'm like, it just sounds like, it doesn't even sound like an audience cheering.
Yeah. It's, so, like, it's like, crazy. All right. My battery's about to die. I thought I charged this. All right, bro.
It's all good. Well, this was good, man.
All right. Then we'll see you on Tuesday for NXT.